we've been talking about the hardest. You know, we've talked about the hardest commandment, the hardest lesson to learn in life, different things like that. Tonight, I thought we'd spend a little bit of time talking about the hardest struggle, the hardest struggle. And that would fit under the category. A lot of people ask this question: how do I know God's will? How do I know God's will? Or how can I find God's will? And they struggle with that quite a bit. I think a lot of people have in their mind that there's some spiritual magic wand that a preacher or maybe a Sunday school teacher or someone who's been a Christian for a while, or maybe even themselves, we can just whip out this wand and say, you want to know God's will? Well, let me just wave this wand a little. It does not work that way. I'm convinced, as we'll talk about here in a moment, I'm convinced that you know God's will whenever you're living for the Lord in a lifestyle. It's not like, you know, I'm going to do my own thing. Oh, by the way, I want to know God's will in this area of college or marriage or profession or changing jobs or where I'm supposed to live. It just doesn't work that way. I mean, God is gracious, and I know you can change that situation and make that situation right with the Lord. But really, if you want an uninterrupted will of God in your life, it needs to be found in a lifestyle of service to the Lord. I hope to make that a little more clear as we look at just two verses tonight. Just two verses, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Now, this is a familiar passage, but I hope it will help us to understand God's will a little bit, how to determine God's will for our life. And you might say, preacher, I think I'm okay in that area. Well, we still have questions, don't we, every day? You know, things come up and we're like, I just don't quite know what to do about that. So hopefully this will help in those day-to-day things for all of us. But, you know, there's a lot of people around us that are looking for God's will. And sometimes they ask us, and we might, if we're not careful, we'll offer them our wisdom instead of God's wisdom. We'll say, well, my experience tells me. And there's nothing wrong with experience. But ultimately what we want is God's perfect will, right? So you can, if nothing else you get from tonight, just remember Romans 12 verses 1 and 2. If someone asks you how to know God's will, say, read that. Because it ends on the note of God's good, acceptable, and perfect will. That's what it ends in verse 2. But we're going to look at that, the hardest struggle. How do I know God's will, or how can I find God's will? Let's read those two verses, and we'll spend a little bit of time looking at this passage tonight, okay? Excuse me. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove or test what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Tonight, a lot of people's hardest struggle: how can I find God's will? Well, you can tell that Paul is very serious about this as he writes to the Christians at Rome. He's very serious about God's will for each individual. And I know as the under-shepherd of this church, I'm very serious about people figuring out what God's will is for their life. I'm serious about trying to find God's will for my life. And you can tell that Paul, he starts out, I beseech you, therefore, brethren. He's talking to Christians. He's basically, I urge you, I beg you, brethren. And then he goes into this spiel on how to know God's perfect will. Now, this is God's word. And I will stand on this book. Hopefully you will stand on this book. And hopefully our church will forever stand on this book. As long as the Lord tarries. So it's important that we see what God says about his will. Y'all agree with that? But Paul is serious about it. I'm convinced God is serious about it, and we need to be serious about it too. First of all, excuse me, how can I find God's will? First of all, have the want to. Have the want to know God's will. I know that's kind of odd construction there probably. But point number one, how can I find God's will? Have the want to know God's will. Now, I'm convinced that there are a lot of Christians, hopefully not one single one here tonight, but I'm convinced there's a lot of Christians that really are not that concerned about God's will. You know, it's kind of like they know they're saved, they know where they're going, and it's almost like, Lord, I'll take it from here. Now, that's not good, and that's a dangerous place to be. But if you want to know God's will, you have to have the want to know God's will, the want to. And it says that Paul urged the Roman Christians to have the want to. And he says, why? He says, by the mercies of God. Now, I really think a better way to put that would be because of the mercies of God. You know, because God has been so merciful to us, we ought to have the want to do what he wants us to do. There's a lot of twos in there, isn't there? But we ought to have the want to do what God wants us to do because God has shown us his mercy, right? I mean, yes, we want to be blessed. Yes, we want to be rewarded. But if you really want to look at the root source of this, ought to be because God's been awfully good to us, right? I mean, you think about where you are and what you have in life. Now, I know we have days. Can I tell you, I had one of those days today. I'm not sure if anything went according to what I planned it to be. I mean, nothing. I started out coming out Route 23. And, you know, normally when they paint the yellow line, they let you know they're painting the yellow line. And so I'm coming out Route 23, almost to Route 50, and I was getting an earlier start, and we, you know, had big dreams about doing this and that and the other, and come out the road. And I'm not sure if I even crossed onto the yellow line, but enough people had already crossed onto the yellow line that my track where I was traveling was now yellow. And at that point, I'm like, you know, they painted it sometime recently, but there was no sign, nothing there to tell me. So I just come on out 23, and I noticed the car, well, I noticed that there was some, like, construction vehicles, so to speak, or vehicles that were painting the line, ready to cross Route 50. And it was a big truck in the back. It said wet paint. Of course, it was way too late for me to figure that out because I'd already been through it, okay? And I noticed the car in front of me, eventually they had yellow tires. And I'm thinking, I'll bet you I got yellow tires too. So I cross over. I'd planned on coming, and Amy's dad had a doctor visit. And they were already in town, and I was going to meet them. And I was planning on that, and I thought, you know what? If my tires are yellow, I don't want to get on Route 50 going 65 and sling it even worse than it already is. So to make a long story short, I ended up at the parts store saying, what takes off yellow paint? They were afraid it would hurt the paint. And then actually, strange enough, I was at the parts store, and these same people painting the lines come by. And I talked to one of them already, and I said, now, what do you do when you get yellow paint on your car? And he said, well, take it to the car wash. He said, it's water-based. So I made a trip to the Rosebud car wash, and I think I got most of it off. But my tires are still yellow. And I think I got most of it off the paint that you see, but my fender wells underneath's all yellow and everything. But it just completely threw my day into a tailspin. So we have days like that, right? But I hope that even in the good days and the bad days, we really want to know what God wants us to do. We really want to determine to have the want to of what God wants us to do. And God is merciful even in those crazy days, right? God is good to us. We have those days that are, you know, a little frustrating. I mean, just think about all the blessings. I mean, even today, I had a vehicle to drive. That's a good thing, right? Clothes to put on, right? You know, soap and deodorant and toothbrush and all that. And don't I look good? That was just a joke. But But the point is, we have so much. And then you look at the spiritual side of things. I know where I'm going, you know. The world's kind of crazy, but I know where I'm going. I know why I'm here. I know that when I breathe my last, whenever that might be, that's in God's timetable. He's the giver and the taker of life. But when that time comes, I know where I'm going to spend eternity. Because I've been forgiven, because I serve a God that loves me so much he sent Jesus. So we ought to realize how merciful God is, right? I mean, what did we really deserve? Mercy's not getting what we deserve. What did we deserve? We're sinners, right? I guarantee you everybody here sinned. If Tim was here, I'd say, you know, I know some of you really sinned. But be sure I said that, okay, tonight. But we're all our sinners, and we're not getting what we deserve in hell. We're going to spend eternity in heaven because of the mercies of God. So when you ponder about that a little bit and think about that, guess what? We ought to say, you know what? I want God's will because of the mercies. He's been so good to me. I want to do exactly what he wants me to do. And it really is amazing that Jesus, the Son, when he was on this earth, he was really concerned about doing the will of the Father, right? Remember, even all to the very end, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, you know, Lord, let this pass from me. And he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. I mean, that's a pretty good demonstration of determining God's will and doing God's will. And Jesus, the Son, demonstrated that, right? So if you want to find God's will, you got to have the want to know God's will. And it comes down to being grateful. Really, it does. Number two, I really think that this doesn't have to be out loud, although that'd be fine too. But in our heart, at least, we need to say, Lord, here I am. Amen. So we got to have the want to, and we need to say, Lord, here I am. How's that? Well, if you look at that verse, it says that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, set apart, acceptable unto God. We need to be to the point in our life that we say, Lord, I am here. I will do whatever you want me to do. Here I am. Sad to say, I think there's a lot of Christians that never get to that point. Never, ever. They're kind of afraid of a God that loves them supremely and has the ultimate plan for their life. They're still afraid that that God may ask me to do something that's out of my comfort zone. So they never raise that surrender flag in their life to say, Lord, here I am. Here I am. And I'm telling you, as one that has done that more than once in their life and hopefully continuously has that attitude, Lord, here I am. I mean, if the Lord wants to call me to be a missionary to some far-off country, by golly, I'll do my best to go to that mission field. And I'm not saying, well, look at me, but I'm saying we all need to be to the point where we say, Lord, here I am. Remember Isaiah? Saw the Lord high and lifted up. And, you know, all of that. There's a lot to that story. But do you know how he concluded that story with his attitude? Here am I. Send me. And every one of us, if you want to know God's will, I mean, why ask for God's will if you're not willing to do it? You know what I mean? That's kind of backwards, isn't it? Okay, Lord, I'm really not going to do it, but I really want your will. Okay, well, I'm going to veto that. We need to say, here I am, Lord, I'll do whatever. We call that surrender. So the first one would really be gratitude. The second part would be surrender. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. It says, which is a holy, which is set apart, be different, acceptable. I don't know about you, but that's really what I want to be, is acceptable to the Lord. And one way to be acceptable to the Lord is to realize, Lord, you've given us so much. You've shown us so much mercy. Here I am. I think the Lord says, man, that's good. I like that. You know, the Lord's aware of what's going on down here. And when we disobey him, it disappoints, it hurts his heart. But when we do something good for him, when we say things like, Lord, I'm thankful, I'm grateful, and here I am, wherever, whatever you want me to do. I think God is just this deep down. He just feels good about it. You know, he's like, yeah, that's my child. Atta boy, atta girl. Good job. How can I find God's will? Number one, have the want to know God's will. Number two, say to the Lord, here I am, or surrender. Third, you ready for this? If someone wants to know the will of God, quit fitting in with the world. fitting in with the world. You can't live your life, now I know this is a pretty common topic for preachers, but you can't live your life with one foot in the world and one foot serving the Lord and say, Lord, I want your will. When the Lord says, get your foot out of the world, get on my side completely, and I'll tell you what I want you to do. So quit fitting in with the world. Where does that say that at? It says in verse 2. And it says that's a reasonable service. You know, when we recognize God's mercy and are grateful, when we say, Lord, here I am, don't think that we're super Christian. It calls it our reasonable service. Reasonable. Not overabounding service. It's what's expected for a servant of God. And then he says this conforming thing. It says, quit fitting into the world and be not conformed to this world. You know, the world wants us to conform to them. I mean, do you realize that? I mean, they're constantly bombarding us with their message and their philosophy and their influence and saying, do this, do this. This is what you need. You need this car. You need this house. You need to live for yourself. And this is, you need to be accepting of this. And you need to, you know, on and on. The world is bombarding us with that all the time. But if you really want to know God's will for your life and in each individual decision that you make, we need to quit living like the world. Quit fitting in with the world. Quit talking like the world. Quit reasoning like the world. You know, you can put a gazillion different verbs in there. We just need to make sure that we're not like the world. Now, the reason Jesus came was to make us different than the world. Right? And the Bible says that we become what when we're saved? A new creature, new creation. Right? And if we're new, if we're brand new because of what Jesus did for us, we ought to quit worrying about what everybody else is doing and just do what we know to do is right. So we need to quit fitting in with the world if we want to know God's will on a daily basis and God's will for our life in a very general basis. Guess what? We need to make sure that we quit fitting in with the world. Now, that's a whole sermon in itself, this idea of conforming to the world. A lot of individuals have decided, you know, well, I'm a Christian, but I'm going to do this. I'm a Christian, but I'm going to do this. I'm a Christian, but I'm going to live for money. I'm a Christian, and I'm going to worry about that retirement plan. I mean, I'm not talking about just doing it or be concerned. I'm talking about I'm going to worry, I'm going to fret, and I'm going to work the hardest I can so I have a great big nest egg, and I have the nicest this and this and this and this and this and this. And I'm not telling you I got this down pat by any means. But, man, we just need to realize this world's not my home. This world is not your home. I mean, we've spent so much time, effort, and energy into so many things that's just like the world. I mean, when you think about the apostles, you say, well, preacher, they're apostles. That's why they were called apostles. But so many of the early Christians, they lost their life for Jesus. I mean, it wasn't a matter for them, you know, I'm just going to kind of fit in because I don't want anybody to know who I am and I might lose my life. No, they stood out. They said, that's all right. If I lose my life, so be it. And today, we're not so much fitting in so that we don't suffer death, but we're fitting in just because that's what the old human nature wants us to do, fit in, just be like the world. Okay, I better move on from that one probably. How can I find God's will? Number one, have the want to know God's will. Number two, say to the Lord, here I am, or surrender. Number three, quit fitting in with the world. Now, we're talking about God's will. We're talking about knowing God's will in each one of those we might call little decisions we have every day or the big decisions we have and all the ones in between. The biggest would be, Lord, what do you specifically want me to do for the kingdom of God? Last point, number four, how can I find God's will? Let the word of God change you. Let the word of God change you. You know what? I could take this Bible and I could close it and I could put it under my pillow and I could sleep on this Bible from here until I die, from now until I die, And guess what? It will not change me. I won't even probably have good dreams because there'll be something under my pillow causing me some problems. I'm going to say this. I can even come to church and not listen to the sermon and still not be changed. Or I can come to church with an attitude. I've heard all this before. You preachers all preach the same thing, you know, and still not be changed by the Word of God. Ultimately, if we're going to be changed by the Word of God, we got to spend time in the Word of God. And I really think that it's not even just enough to come to church to hear the preacher and the teacher in the Word of God. We need to spend time in the Word of God and let it change us. Remember, the Word of God is called like a mirror that we look into, and it shows us who we are. And then sometimes we forget what we look like and move on. But if we spend enough time in the Word of God, we get a pretty good picture of what we are and what God needs to work on. You know how we look in the mirror today? I've had one of those, in addition to the yellow paint thing, I've had a crazy hair day. You ever notice that? Every time I looked in the mirror, my hair's messed up. I'm like, what in the world is going on? Amy, why did you let me out of the house this way? But when we look at the Word of God, it will show us what we're like, and it will help us to change. Because every one of us, every single one of us needs to change. We might get our hair in place and then realize, well, you know what? There's a spot on my shirt. or something else is wrong, right? It's that way with the Word of God. We don't ever arrive to the point that we don't need to improve because of Jesus. And when we look at the Word of God enough, it'll continue to show us different areas of our life. And we might get this one taken care of and say, yeah, Lord, thank you. I worked on that and I'm doing better in that area. Then next thing you know, boom, there's something else that God shows you in His Word and says, you know what? You really need to watch that tongue of yours. Sometimes it's a little bit sharp. And then maybe you pray about it and really get some help about it. And you say, check, I'm doing better in that area, Lord. Then by golly, next thing you know what? There's a little bit of pride in your life. You think you're the smartest one around. And you're like, oh, you know, so it's a continual thing. But if you want to know God's will, guess what? You got to be changed in your mind. You need to be transformed. And the word is metamorphosis. That's where we get our word metamorphosis today, from a caterpillar to a butterfly, right? So we need to be changed by spending time in the Word of God. And if you want to know God's will, you got to spend time in the Word of God. No shortcut to that. No shortcut. I'll say probably as I would say 20 times if I had my way, there is no such thing as a God's will magic wand. It's a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle. You got to make sure, first of all, that you have the want to know God's will. He's done a lot. He's shown us His mercy. Be grateful. Second, we need to say to the Lord, here I am. Least in our heart. Lord, here I am. Surrender. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. The Word of God says, number three, quit fitting in with the world. It says, be not conformed to this world. You know, this is not our home. I mean, if you get real good at conforming to this world, it's not going to last long anyway. We need to be ready to conform to what God wants us to be. That's where we're going to spend eternity. Number four, let the Word of God change you. And it's not going to change you if you don't spend time in the Word of God. Let the Word, it says, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You can listen to all the talk shows you want to, and it's not going to transform your mind. You can read all the secular magazines you want to read, and it's not going to transform your mind. You can read all the novels you want to read, and it's probably not going to change your mind. You can watch all the Westerns you want to watch, and it's probably not going to change your mind. Right, John? I think John is my most kindred spirit when it comes to Westerns, John. And Marcia, okay. Good. And I know our boys, and I think there's some others too that like, but you can watch all the Westerns you want to. They may be entertaining, and they may present a good moral, and they may give something to think about. But guess what? We're transformed by the Word of God. Word of God. So, how can I find God's will? The want, you got to have the want to. You got to say, Lord, here I am. Surrender. Quit fitting in with the world. Let the Word of God change you. And then look what it says will happen. That ye may prove, you might put so that, if you want to, so that ye may prove or test what is that good. Isn't God's will good? I mean, God's good all the time, right? So if God's good all the time, guess what? His perfect will is good. So you'll be able to figure out what is that good and acceptable. And you know what? We ought to be concerned about that acceptable part, because guess who the ultimate judge is going to be? Even for a Christian, it's the Lord Jesus, right? So if I go through this and want to know God's will, it's a good thing, because if it's acceptable to Him, it'll be good when I stand before Him to hear, you did a good job in that area. You followed my will in that area. Wouldn't that be good? Acceptable and perfect will of God. God's will is perfect for you. We're not perfect, but God's will is perfect for us, right? It's a perfect fit. I don't know about you, but sometimes with this belly, it's hard to find a perfect fit, right? But can I tell you that God's will is the perfect fit? He knows everything about you. Remember Moses wanted to argue with him about that? You know, well, I'm slow of tongue. You really want me to lead? And God said, hey. You know, after a while, he eventually said, who made man's mouth and tongue? And, you know, God knows all about you. And he wants you to know his perfect will of God. His perfect will of God. I'll say again, it's not a quick process, usually. It's an ongoing process. It's a lifestyle, and it's for big decisions and little decisions and every decision in between. Four questions for you, okay? Four questions for you. If you wouldn't mind, would you bow your head and just close your eyes for a moment? Just think about these questions as I ask them. Do you want to know God's will? Do you want to know God's will? Do you have the want to know God's will? You know, if you don't, I don't know what I can say to make you want to know God's will, but do you have the want to? It's between you and God. And if you don't feel you do like you should, maybe say, Lord, help me to have the want to more. Give me that want to. Change my heart, change my mind. I want to. Help me to have the want to. Second question. Are you willing to say to the Lord, here I am? Here I am, Lord. Whatever you want me to do, here I am. If you are, I think it'd be perfectly fine to do that right now in prayer to the Lord. Say, Lord, here I am. Here I am. What do you want me to do? Here I am. I'm available. Question number three. Are you tired of fitting in with the world? Are you tired? And every one of us would have to admit, sometimes we fit in with the world. Maybe the way we think, the way we respond, the way we reason, whatever. But sometimes we do. Are you tired of those times when you fit in with the world? If you are, maybe say, Lord, help me to stop fitting in. I want to be different. I'm a new creature. And the last question, are you in the Word and letting it change you? Are you in the Word on a regular basis? Every day, are you in the Word and letting the Word of God show you who you are and helping you to change, transforming your mind? If not, would you say, Lord, help me to cut out time in my life, in my daily schedule, where I spend time in your Word, letting it change, transform my mind. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for these two verses found in this book to the Christian Romans, or the Christians in Rome, that is. I thank you for these two verses. And Lord, how rich they are. I'm not sure I even did justice to these verses, but Lord, I pray that you will help each one of us with a lot of people. For them, it's the hardest struggle of many people. How can I find God's will? In little decisions, in the medium decisions, and huge decisions of my overall life. Lord, help us that are gathered, perhaps those that are listening in, Lord, to truly want your will and to follow this pattern set forth, this way of determining what your good and acceptable and perfect will of God is. And in each situation, we thank you, Lord, for your Bible. We don't have to flounder. We don't have to suppose. We don't have to just put our brains together and say, what do y'all think? But, Lord, we thank you that we can read what you think. And, Lord, what you think is perfect. And we just praise you for that. Lord, if there's anyone listening in tonight who does not know the Lord Jesus as their Savior, is not sure, or even here tonight, I pray that they'll nail that down tonight. Call out to you for salvation and forgiveness. And they call out and mean it from their heart and tell you how much they believe that Jesus really died for them on the cross and paid for their sin debt and resurrected back to life. And Lord, I pray that they'll confess to you tonight. If they're not sure they're saved, they'll confess Jesus as their Savior as well. Lord, just bless the rest of our service. For your glory, we pray in Jesus' name.